even without the Spirit. So Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to his followers, and they don't really know what he's talking about. But that's okay. He's on the road. Last week on Easter, don't you love words like this put together? Last week on Easter, the women went to the tomb. Mary, and Salome go to the tomb. Kim reminded us that it's the only gospel telling where there's no direct encounter with Jesus, and therefore, and I think there's some real poignancy in this statement, it's the only gospel telling where there's no direct interaction with the risen Jesus, and therefore it's most like us. So we can find some hope in that. The women encounter this young man in white, an angel, I suppose, and he says, it's our paraphrase again, because the body's not there, and they have their spices, and the angel says to them, you just missed him. You just missed him. Go and tell the others. And there's everything in that statement. That's where we find ourselves. Go and tell the others. Go live this life. Seek him. The question is, what is Jesus up to? They don't know. I mean, they're just dumbfounded, confused. The question is, what now? And my statement for then and now, and it's my Christian hope, but I'm very confident of it at the same time, it is faith. What now? What is Jesus up to? Jesus Christ is building a new world. And it's not dependent upon me or you or CAP or any other church, though the church gets to participate. Though the church is somehow, in some ways, like first fruit of this. We respond or long to respond to what Jesus has done for the whole world. But Jesus is building a new world. The way that the world was, which is basically how most of us think the world still is, frankly. The world of power, one over the other. The world of hierarchy and division. The world of fear, competition, death, right? Think of how we try to sometimes encourage our own children, for those who have kids. It even, of course, loving, well-meaning parents, you better get this and this and this and this because it's a tough world out there, right? So we can still think the world is a world of division and fear and ultimately death. In that way of understanding, death is the victor over all. Death consumes all in the end. But Jesus is building a new world. That's where I find my faith, and I long to be aware of that every day, and sometimes I am more so than others. Jesus is building a world not the kind we thought, a world that's not about scarcity, but a world where life is bigger than death, a world where there's hope and compassion and friendship and peace. Can you imagine if there was that? And he's redeeming all things. This is Ephesians and Colossians. All things, we're told this is the mystery of all our faith. You think you can figure your faith out and you're going to tell somebody else what it means to believe in Jesus or something like that? Here's the mystery, it also says, which is, I pray that you'll have eyes to see this, that your eyes would be enlightened, but this is beyond being able to see it. It's really great language. The mystery is the height, the depth, the love, right, of the love of Christ, the love of God in Jesus Christ. And the mystery is that in the end, things, all things in heaven and on earth and under the earth will be reconciled in Jesus Christ. It's building a new world. And we're to be compelled by that hope. And we get to participate in it. So often we think that it's our responsibility to build, that we build the church, right? And we come up with various formulas, whether they have to do with music or crowds or marketing or whatever. Not against any of those things, but we're not building the new world. Jesus Christ is building the new world. And it's easy to get confused. I've been parts of churches for most of my life, and I've stayed with it. Like even, I'm not asking for congratulations, by the way. Like, way to go, Todd, you still go to church. I mean, here you are too, right? But it doesn't necessarily, you probably know more people who used to go to church than still go to church. So does that mean Jesus is failing in this endeavor? No. It means church is changing a lot, and it's hard for some people that transition. But one of the mistakes that I've seen, I think, and I probably made this mistake myself, so I'm not condemning others with this only, is that we confuse our work with God's work. So I've literally heard people say, God's doing a new thing, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then you ask them, what's the new thing? And then you realize it's their thing. Like the evidence of God working is the thing that I'm really into and that I benefit from has success, which can be true, but the bigger truth is God is doing things apart from our connection all over, all the time. God is working in North Vancouver. There's no cause for alarm. And if the thing that interested you the most, or me, or that organization even ceased to exist, God would still be working. Our call is to bear witness to what Jesus Christ is doing. So the small example is, actually, I thought this would work better. There's too many of you here. Like we've all, you know, it's smaller than last week, but it's not small enough to make this a good illustration. Because, you know, you can show up at church sometimes, and we've gotten used to smaller crowds too in some churches and stuff, but you ever been to a church service where you're like, okay, I guess this is it? Or you sing in a little circle, and it's not quite, you know, it's a bit anemic or whatever. And so my illustration was basically to say, you can see it even in our gathering. Last week there were so many people here, and there were more than just this. And today there's only us faithful few, but there's actually more than that, but anyway. And we could blame the people who aren't here. Like they were here last week. What's wrong with those people? Why do they only come on Easter? They must have some kind of deficiency. Right? Or we could blame the church. We need to realize that Jesus Christ will not be contained within the walls of our understanding or within the walls of any church model or any style of worship. Go and tell the others he's not here. He's gone on. Our faith will always have this element in it, or should. Don't quite get what is happening here, but I trust in him. So his disciples in this reading that Lynn read for us, the text, he's giving them these assurances, like you're going to be okay because there's going to be power that, or the Holy Spirit is going to come. And you know the words comforter and stuff, those have been around church long enough. And so he's giving them some kind of assurance, and this is before his ascension, before he leaves them. These are always those difficult assurances. Don't worry, everything's going to be okay. See ya. Right? So he's told them they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. But they say to him, now remember, they have in their mind, if God is working, that means the thing we care about the most is going to have some kind of success, particularly the thing we care about the most that we say has to do with God. So what was that at that time? It was Israel. So Jesus says, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, right? And they say, is this when the kingdom's going to be restored to Israel? See, they have their agenda and their program. Is this when it's all going to be great? And I love Jesus' answer, because he says this, that's not for you to know. I think there's something about today in that too. Do we have it now? Have we figured out how to do this? And are you going to, you know, make this work? It's not for you to know, but then he tells them two things that he tells us too, by the way. It's all followers, because he even says to the ends of the earth, right? That's geographical and also in time. He gives them two things. He says, firstly, you will receive power. And I could look at you and go, like, each of you, I don't know that you know this in faith and in the spirit, but I could say it to you, and I've seen it with every single one of you I've spoken with. You will receive power in the Holy Spirit. You, your life, your work, the things you care about, you will receive power. But what for? Power to make things happen, power to get what you want? Not quite. The second thing is, he says, you receive power to be my witnesses. You will be empowered to bear witness to what I'm doing. And he's building a new world. That's the call of the church, to bear witness. It's not my work or yours. It's not this church or another church or this ministry. It's that all we can do is bear witness to what he is doing. And when we take over the work, I mean, we have Psalms about this, right? Laborers laboring in vain. When we take over the work, things can become pretty ugly pretty quickly. Will you look to see where Jesus is building a world? It's an important call of the church, and I think that it's an evangelistic motion, kind of movement. So you can even consider with people, your friends who aren't Christian, how can you see God working in their lives? Things where they are giving their life for the good of another person. It doesn't mean that you're saying they're a Christian. I'm not talking about that. But to be aware of God's presence in the lives of others is a huge, huge call for us in our faith. And it doesn't take an institution around it. It takes things like listening, empathy, and I think the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. It's not about getting people to sign up to make our thing grow. It's that each person, and this is where I would walk through and address you each by name, and just in minutes of hearing about what you care about the most in your life, I could, I think, by God's presence, by the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to discern the kind of positive difference that you can make in the world, the call that God has in your life. Is it this? Is it this? Each one of you has a different call here to participate in the work that Jesus Christ is doing in building this new world. Some serve others. It's astounding to me, just in this community, I'll try not to cry when I say this, but how person after person after person gives their time and their energy and their resources, their very life, simply to care for somebody else in need. That's Christian work. It's a Christian call. And some of you are working in those fields by your career, where you see people in need all the time, or caring for those in sorrow. Some of you have incredible gifts of creativity. There's a sentence from Dostoevsky. It says, beauty will save the world. Some of you are good at producing beautiful things, and there's redemptive work in that. Some of you are just gifted naturally, and you would tell me this if you actually have this. You're just gifted naturally at relationships. People just like being around you, and you can kind of bring people together. That's a beautiful gift. In your work, maybe, perhaps counseling, even helping people, it's getting sunny now, it's nice, through religious trauma, helping people heal. But Christian faith, so here's where I'll kind of add a proviso here. Christian faith is not simply about the elevation of virtue, right? So take inclusivity as an example. Inclusivity isn't my God. I worship Jesus Christ, but in worshiping Jesus Christ, I fully, fully feel that the call is to be inclusive. So these good things I just told you about, creativity, healing, company, hospitality, right? Christian faith says that these things find their energy in the fact that Jesus is building this new world, and we get to participate. We don't worship virtue. We worship Jesus. So two quick things before we end on that. And this is first Sunday after Easter. The first thing to realize is that newness in Christian faith and understanding begins with Jesus. Begins with Jesus. It's from him. He has defeated death. This living is, our living then is living in light of the resurrection. So some of those things that we're called to do in our work, in our outside of our work or our families. But in Christian faith, we can see that these things are empowered by knowing that Jesus is this newness. He's gone ahead and he still goes ahead. And secondly, Jesus is not a sign of the resurrection. So sometimes you'll hear this in speaking in religious terms. You'll hear almost treating this as if Jesus' resurrection is a metaphor, right? So it didn't really matter if he raised from the dead. The important thing is that life comes after death, and so go out and... I'm not saying that's all terrible. It's just not particularly Christian. Christian faith understands and declares that Jesus Christ is not simply a sign of resurrection. He is its Lord. Things become new all the time in Jesus Christ.